Hello, this is Black Country Blokes chewing the fat.
Listen.
I've been hearing a lot lately about men don't talk. But in my experience, men do talk, just people aren't listening. So it's going to be me and a group of blokes discussing our struggles and victories through life. Warning, there may be some bad language, so apologies to all the moms, especially my own. Let's get going.
Listen.
Abin, yeah, just the Black Country Blokes chewing the fat about everything that is men's mental health, disability, life in general. And today we're going to be talking a lot about cricket. There's no something that me and Lee know nothing at all about. That's why we've got Hattie. We met the other night and he's got a remarkable story, and what he's doing now for the youngsters is brilliant. So Hattie, first of all, thank you for coming on, brother.
Thank you very much for inviting me for this podcast, mate. Thank you very much.
And we're going to start, as we always do, with our gratitude list. Like, we haven't been on for the last 3 weeks. Whether you call it the flu, COVID, whatever, the doctor calls it a virus. I'm grateful to actually feel better. And I always say this saying, a well man wishes for 1,000 things. A sick man wishes for one, and that's to get better. So I'm glad I'm feeling better. Not fully well, but a hell of a lot better. What are you grateful for?
Oh, finally, the new season for our caravan opened, and I finally went down there last weekend before, can't even keep up. Anyway, I'm thankful for that, to be able to get down there, enjoy a long weekend with the family. Yeah, and just spend family time. No work and all that jazz, just family.
And what are you grateful for, actually?
So I'm literally back from a great holiday and a great adventure for my kids who train under me. So we went to Sri Lanka for 2 weeks. And literally come back last night. Then I'm back here with you guys. So missing the weather.
Yeah, you come back at the wrong time, haven't you?
And typical British weather.
Because you're originally from Sri Lanka, aren't you?
Sorry?
You're originally from Sri Lanka.
Yes, I'm originally from Sri Lanka. That's where I was born.
And how long have you been in the UK for?
I moved in 2010, so 14 years. I'm living in UK now.
Because when we met, funny enough, you drive an Uber, don't you? And I love talking to everybody. And your story really inspired me and my wife. And that's why I was adamant to get you on today.
Yeah.
But will you tell us a little bit about how your life and a bit how you got into cricket and all the things you achieved in cricket?
Yeah, so I started my cricketing career when I was 11 in Sri Lanka. So the reason I get into cricket because I was the only child for my family. Then I had a, because I would say I'm a bit naughty kid.
Yeah.
So especially my mom warned me to have a little bit more discipline in myself. So
burn off a bit of energy, no doubt.
Yes. Yeah.
So that sport does that, doesn't it? Yeah. Whether it's football, boxing, cricket.
Yeah.
It gives us discipline.
Yeah, because one of our school coaches on that time were very strict with the discipline and, you know, managing that kind of kids. So that's an intention for me, for my mom to play lifetime cricket just for that particular time to get into cricket, get that discipline right for to help my future. So then, so starting on that part, then without even realizing, I was playing cricket for under 13 school team. I got selected and playing that. So then everyone started talking about my performance and everyone just encouraging me how well I'm doing on the my age groups. Then suddenly I had a phone call from Sri Lankan Cricket Board. I was 15 that time to be selected for the county team. So then that's how I started my career. So then since I get to that county team age group, so then I played for under 15 Sri Lanka, under 16 Sri Lanka, then under 17, then under 19 Sri Lanka. Then after that, I played 2006 under 19 World Cup under Angelo Matthews, which is a current legend in Sri Lankan cricket at the moment. He was the captain. So that's how I get into cricket. So in the meantime, the achievements wise, I've got the national colours, being a school cricketer of the year. Okay. So played enough school cricket, had the experience. Then when I played Sri Lanka under 19, that international level, I played first class cricket. I debuted first class cricket in 2006 when I was in school. So then I'm playing for that professional career for a good 2 years. Played. I was member of Sri Lankan A 2007, 8, and the beginning of 2009. Then unfortunately, I had a back injury. Because of the Sri Lanka, it's been like the country where depend on your monthly income and stuff. Mm-hmm. So because the reason I'm grateful to be in this country, because everyone have the opportunity to, you can study at the same time, you can do your sport at the same time. Mm-hmm. But the Sri Lanka, we haven't got that luxury. If you are a professional sportsman, you only can do that. There's no other way you're gonna study. So because my whole career is based on sports, so I miss my extra kind of like education side of it. So when I had the injury, so I felt like I lost everything.
Yeah.
So then I went for job interviews, never get selected. I was working that time after school as an ambassador for a bank called Nation Trust. So it just for the name. So being Hasila de Silva, playing cricket for their company, that's it. It's not a proper job. So yeah. when I had the injury, so then kind of like I lost my job at the same time, because yeah. It's not my thing.
There's like sponsoring or yeah.
So then I thought, well, what do I do? So then in that time, if someone motivate me, stay in the country. Get your recovery done. It's still you are young, 23 years old. Give another 2 years, get into recovery, then go again. If someone motivate that on that time, I wouldn't be in this country. Then I'll be playing my international career. But because it's such a short period, everything happened. It's no one there to mentor me, to guide me. So then I made the decision, look, I need to leave the country because I haven't got no qualification. So then my parents said, yeah, that's the best thing to do, because you're not going to make any professional career. So then came as a student in 2010, June 3rd, to this country. But still, yes, I can't play the professional level of cricket, but still I'm good enough to play club cricket in this country. So I played as a sub-pro for 6 to 7 years in different...
As well as studying.
As well as studying, yeah. Mm-hmm. So that money I earned from club cricket paid my college fees and uni fees. So that balanced it up really well.
People in this country, it's only touch it, but people in this country don't take free education. They just blow it off, don't they? But it's such a gift, isn't it?
Yeah.
When you can pursue boxing, cricket, football, as I just said, and get a full-time education. So, I know at university it's expensive, but your primary school, your secondary school, your college is free.
Yeah.
And how many people just absolutely waste it, don't they?
Definitely. Yeah, because as I mentioned, so now I'm the founder of SHD Coaching. That's something I always want to do, because when I'm playing cricket in the club levels since I came here, there's a one word I keep that I keep mentioning. Oh, my son never go to private school, and my son won't able to play any good level of cricket. I said, what's that mean? For me, it's new.
Mm.
I said, the government school don't play cricket in this country. There are very, very few schools have the facility. So every other player you see play for county level professional cricket, and even playing for England cricket, 99.9%. Went to private school.
Mm.
And I said, hang on, that's not right, because the structure I came from, school cricket is the foundation of sport.
It's quite mad, really, because cricket is, it's not like you've got tons of equipment that you need to buy or things along that line, you know. It's,
it can be cheaply played.
Yeah, it can be. It's kind of like boxing, is it? If you've got a skipping rope, pair of gloves and a bag, you're good. And cricket's the same. You've got a bat, you've got a ball, and you've got wickets.
Yeah.
You can play cricket, can't you?
It should be affordable.
Yeah, it should be affordable.
Yeah, but and at the same time, because the reason I came as a coaching career, because I thought I want to use my experience to help young kids. and sharing my experience. That's going to be helpful because the experience I had as a professional cricketer, and I don't think many professional cricketers are in this country doing their one-to-one coaching, or they're doing their own academy. So most of them are in that level. It joined to the county setup, and to be able to get that level of coaching experience, the kids have to be that level.
Yeah.
So I thought I'm going to change that. I'm going to start from the small community. Then I'm going to build it. So as we go along, I can explain quite a lot of things with this conversation. But as a summary, that is my main thing, to help any level of family backgrounds to share that my experience, given the opportunity to have a training with me and learn cricket, and at the same time giving that encouragement. How, because it's not just a sport, it's a mind game, so you're mentally strong. So as a person, you know, the amount of time we heard from the social media and the newspapers everywhere, the mental side of it is so weak in these days, because they're not strong enough to handle the pressure. So playing a sport, that, because with the cricket game it's a 1 second thing, so you have to concentrate. The amount of challenges coming your way, you have to be mentally strong. So building that, probably that kids won't able to make it for the international level, but still, that's going to be make as a person a better person, because they're mentally strong. They can take
it. Builds resilience, doesn't it?
Yeah, definitely.
It teaches you how to win, how to lose, how to be upset, how to be angry, but to control your emotions.
Yeah, definitely.
And I think a lot of people now, they don't know how to regulate their emotions. And it's sometimes you feel, when you lose a big competition, you are heartbroken. Yeah. Heartbroken. But you have to learn how to still walk over and shake the person's hand.
Exactly.
And say, congratulations. Next time I'll beat you, but enjoy your moment.
Yeah,
and once again, when you win, go, I've won today. Congratulations. It was a good game. And that's what sport does, isn't it? And it teaches you, even when you're not feeling the best, you still have to train.
Yeah.
That mental endurance, that mental strength to, even though I don't want to run today, I've got to run today. Yeah. Otherwise, he will take my winner's spot.
Yeah, definitely. I 100% agree, because that's what everyone needs in their life.
Mm-hmm.
Because I always believe, because the motivation and the dedication is a must as a human being. Because if you don't motivate, you're never going to do what you want to do in your life. And to be able to, and when the challenges come in your way, don't run out, because always believe yourself. You are the best, and you want to do what you want to do in your life. So where's that coming from? It needs to come from some the background where you can develop that skill. So that it could be different sports. So I always believe the sport is a great way to inspire kids and as a human to be a strong person.
Your passion for cricket obviously comes across in this, but do you think for yourself, do you think was someone that it came natural to, or something you had to work hard at to get better, or both?
I really like that question. So many examples in my life. So any sport, people born with their natural talent.
Mm.
And some people born with no talent, but they love that sport.
Yeah.
Some stage we call overconfidence. So the natural talent person think in a certain age of cricket or any sport, they think I'm the best, which is good. But then they just believe their natural talent.
Yes.
But the person who loves the sport and wanna involve with that sport long way, what they do is they work hard, they're trying to learn, and they have that passion and dedication. I want to do this. But then by the time get to 16, 17, the natural talent person, if they haven't worked hard enough, they stay the same. And the person who work hard take over straight away, then it's a big gap, because the person who works hard never had the natural talent, been coached correctly and have the passion, dedication, and the motivation at the same time, that person in different levels. So that, because I have so many examples within my coaching career, I'm not going to mention names in here, because that's not the right way to express some examples. So two different kids. One had a really good natural talent. And it's taking me to my old days and saying, I was trying to have that conversation with that parent and saying, please don't do that. Mm-hmm. The reason is he thinks his son can play cricket, mm-hmm. which is his truth. And there's another parent, same age, there's another parent, that kid, about to give up the cricket because he thinks he's not good enough. So that kid came to me, and his parent mentioned to me, my son is about to give up the sporting career, but I'm going to give a go. I said, okay. Then I spoke to that kid, what you want to do? I love the sport, but I've been failing a couple of times. I'm not good enough. I said, do you believe you're good enough? Or I said, no, I'm good enough, but I never had the opportunity. I said, okay, let's try a couple of weeks, see how this is going to work. The amount of passion that kid put it into that sport, that I feel as a coach, I can't let this kid give up this cricket. So I worked with him for such a long time, really good 2 years. That kid is in a different level now. Mm. And the parents is happy. So the other kid, injured pretty much every other week. 14, 16-year-old kid, as a sport, you can't get injured because you have your natural growth every day.
Yeah.
So your muscles are stretching. And you know, as a sportsman, if it's a kid getting injured when they're teenage, something wrong. Either you're not physically fit or not mentally fit, or you can't take that pressure.
And a lot of time it's they make excuses.
And
I love a saying, there's two choices in life, excuses or changes, but one's a lot easier than the other.
Yeah.
And when you have someone who's talented and it's, well, have you done your runs? No, but I'm okay.
Yeah.
Talent only gets you so far.
Exactly.
The work and the hard work gets you the rest. And it's the same as like, oh, we'll make excuses. Well, no, have a look at yourself and see what changes you can make. Because that's the kind of kid you want to teach, isn't it?
Exactly. That's why I really, because with my coaching, I've got tough love.
Mm.
Because if you're not mentally strong, you can't do anything.
Mm.
Because the sport is, the skill is only 20%.
Mm.
And the rest is how much you can take in. It's a mental awareness and it's a mental game.
I think there's a balance to be had as well. Because if you have got someone who is really talented and they keep getting told they're really talented, that can lead to laziness.
Exactly, 100% agree.
You know, there needs to be a balance, because you need to praise people for them to keep wanting to do it as well. And there's a balance between giving them good praise and then overpraising at the point that they don't think they have to work.
They have to work, yeah, because I 100% agree, because the amount of players I've seen in my career and quite a lot of talented players give up their cricket because either they've been praised too much and they think they're the best. And without their knowing, someone will take over, because the cricket is only 11 players can play at one time. Mm. And obviously, if you're playing for a spot, if you are lazy, if you're not putting your 100% effort in, someone will take over. Once the player's been taken over, you have to work even 10, 15 times harder than what you did before, because that spot has been filled. So the cricket is, I'm guessing every single sport is, I always believe your hard work's paid off.
But it's in boxing, like sometimes it's like the kid who wins his first 10 fights and then loses is heartbroken.
Yeah.
And he goes, oh, maybe the kid who's lost his first 5, then he goes on a winning streak, knows how great it is to win and how terrible it is to lose.
Yeah.
He's tasted both. Well, you're only getting wins in life.
Yeah.
Then you have a knockback. Some kids haven't got the mental resilience to carry on.
Yeah.
So I think losing early in your career can often be a good thing.
Yeah.
Like if you're not picked to the cricket team the first 2 seasons, it makes you think, well, do I really want it?
Yeah.
And then when you get there, how bloody great it is.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, because that's the main thing I want to change it, because in this country, and because the government school don't play cricket that much. Mm. So the only places for the kids to learn cricket is a club cricket. That is a setup. So no issue with that, that's fine. What I do really get annoyed when someone trying to train in junior cricket never hold a bat, never have no understanding about the sport.
Yeah.
So the reason the players in club cricket, especially junior level, never get the opportunity. I'll just explain why this is happening. So club cricket, parents get, the volunteers get involved with helping the club because it's a social place. So someone who can afford to pay 50 to just over 50 grand every year to get your son or your daughter into a private school, the private school provide those school facilities. Because of this, they've been paid. So the coaches are in any sport in their private school, they are qualified coaches into those individual sports. So automatically, those kids being taught how to play that individual sport. And because we're talking about cricket today, that's what we're doing. So then club cricket, parents are involved because his son playing for under 10.
And the volunteer, aren't
they? And they volunteer to help out. But the parent never had the qualification. Yes, they call level 2 qualification, it's just on a paper.
Yeah.
So I've done level two courses. It's a safeguarding, and that sort of things is covered, but not the actual cricket game. So
they're volunteers; they're not cricket people.
Exactly. So for me, quite a lot of frustration at right now when we speak, because the reason I don't understand why, if you don't know something, so don't get involved, because you just ruin someone's life.
Or help make the coffees.
Yeah.
You know, you still be a part of the team, but let me do the cricket.
Then when those people are talking about cricket, I feel like...
Yeah.
So the best to do is just stay away from them. So, because I have my own vision, what I'm going to achieve in my coaching career. So people want to come to me, then obviously I'm volunteer to help. And one of the reasons... When because it's one voice, it's hard to manage everything, because when you got 100 people in one side not think they know the cricket, and this is what happening in club cricket as a general, because everyone think they know cricket, and they're trying to coach for the kids, never get the proper way of learning how to play cricket, then those kids give up and everything, because they're just trying to motivate the kid, even that kid not doing well, they encourage you're doing really well. So that in their life, if someone not doing well and encouraging you did really well something which is not right, imagine that kid another 18 years time. I always pray because I'm doing well, but now you're telling me I'm not doing well.
And I don't know how to deal with that criticism.
And that situation, so where is this problem start from? Very young age, because someone is telling you, even you are not good enough, you are good. That has to be stopped.
Yeah.
Because those kids, when they grow up, like as I mentioned earlier, when they go into their professional career in education, I don't know, anywhere, if someone said, you are not good enough, that's where that suicide comes along.
We do something similar within boxing, but we call it a dog shit sandwich.
Yeah.
Because you don't want to, that kid, you want to make him a better. So you don't want to say he's the world's best, because he's not.
Yeah.
But you don't want to put him off playing. Yeah. So we put it in a sandwich and we say, you know what, your jab was brilliant, but you know, your backhand, you didn't quite twist enough on that, but your jab was brilliant. And you plant that seed then, actually, my jab's great, but I can twist more on my backhand.
Yeah.
So you're encouraging at the same time as critiquing.
Yeah, because that's the thing, because as I mentioned, because if you don't know about that particular sport, and don't try to teach anyone, because you're not a professional.
Yeah.
That's the bottom line.
Yeah.
And the professional to deal with it. Even if you don't know how to do it, so bring someone in who have that experience and do it properly. So that's why this SSG coaching is so important for me to start as a business, because I used to work 14 years of career in retail for Primark. I was a commercial manager. So then I grew up cricket when I moved into West Midlands, because the retail, I have to work the Saturdays. So then suddenly COVID came along. I was, because obviously I have to stay fit and doing something. So start doing all the workout things like that. I feel like I'm getting shape again because I can play cricket again. So then suddenly, as a Sri Lankan, we have a big Sri Lankan community around this Midlands area. Then a couple of my friends encouraged me to come and play a game in one of the cricket ground, which is the Himley cricket ground just down the road.
Yeah.
So one of those, it's like a friendly, we booked the ground, it's a friendly cricket game. One of the club members saw me playing in there. So then he asked one of my friends to come and see the club. You know, it's not guaranteed I'm going to play, but just come and join with the club because obviously he's seen something on me. So I went in there after that game. So then everyone's been lovely. So then obviously they get to know me well. So then they're just asking me so many questions to getting back into cricket because I grew up on that time. It just went for a friendly game. So after that, so when I had the opportunity for that 2 years after COVID, whenever I'm available for Saturdays, I just play for the Himley first team as a player. I'm so grateful. Even I'm not consistent throughout the season, whenever I can, they always give the opportunity. So I still believe I'm good enough to play that level because that's why they asked me to come whenever I'm available. So I'm pleased and I'm really thankful for the club captain and the club members giving the opportunity. So when I do that, the club encouraged me to get involved with cricket because they value my experience. So they helped me to get through the paper qualification, which is I have to do it in this country. So once I get that done, so then I'll start this business up as SHD coaching. So it's been into now 2 years. I've got nearly 26 to 27 kids. And out of 27, I recommended to go to the county trials from different age groups. So I've got 100% pass rate. So every single kid went to the trials and they've been selected.
Is that all kids local to?
All local.
Yeah.
All local.
And they probably won't get the opportunity to even play with them most of the time. No, so because, it's fantastic.
Apart from 3 to 4 kids, everyone else love football, didn't know about cricket.
Cricket, yeah.
But their parents won't. Because parents love the sport, cricket. So they just come to me and say, you know, even parents said, we just want to see our son just playing even just a normal cricket. But the way they come along and obviously the way I train them and they improve massively within no time. So if you guys want to have a look at that, it's in my social media everywhere.
Yeah, the links are actually in the description if anyone wants to take a look.
Yeah, so you can see the difference I made with such a shorter time. I haven't done anything rocket science. All I've done is the person who loved the sport didn't play in their whole life. All I've done is just to train them basics and encourage them to do well. And the technical side, I improve gradually with them because once they know how to do a certain technique, they're happier because they can see they can play the sport, doing that, get into that high level of understanding. So now those kids are in a different level. So that level, I don't think they're never going to go away because they are completing all those private school kids because apart from one, every other kid is going to government school. And the story behind this kid, because the two brothers, the younger brother, younger one, the great, like a natural born talented. The other one have no clue how to play cricket. So then, because obviously as a parent, you don't want to treat your two different kids in a two different way.
Yeah.
But still that parent went for cricket coaching to find a coach to different areas. Everywhere I've been told that elder kids been rejected. So that kid came to me and his father came to me, you know what, Hasi, I don't mind he's not getting best, but this is my son, a younger son, he got natural talent, just look after him. I just bring in my other son just to stay with him, just feel the same. So you better believe me or not, he is in the under 11, Worcestershire County, that kid.
Fantastic.
And he is the, I would say, he is the hardest. He had a really hard time with me. Tough love.
Yeah.
I think the amount of time that kid put that effort in. So now he's set his life with cricket. The other kids have a great opportunity to see how much he come along. So I'm using that as an example because that kid don't know how to play cricket, being rejected by the coaches. The coaches don't know how to get him into the correct track. So now that kid playing for Worcestershire under 11 and being a fast bowler, that's incredible. Batting well, bowling well, fielding well, and people see the different praise come along. So fantastic. And because I'm so proud having the 100% pass mark.
And kids like that are the real wins for you, aren't they?
Real wins. Because for me, because obviously you got your challenges come a long way, because everyone, once you get to that level, everyone keep an eye on you. You get your competitors coming away, and you know you get challenges coming from different feedback, try to knock you down and giving, you know, encouraging. For I'm going through with that at the same time, but my only one mission is, right, how do I get these kids into their better life with cricket?
Yeah.
That's all I believe, because if I can involve this community, local people, not going to private school, and anything I can help with in regard to cricket, I will do my best. Because my frustration sometimes, people know what experience I have, but they are so proud not to come and ask a question.
Yeah.
So for me, and they know what I've achieved in my cricketing career, they feel like, oh, we know better than you. But I'm thinking, no, you haven't.
Mm.
So you haven't had, because you people don't have the guts to come to me and speak into me, share with my experience, because you are in a different mental corner saying, we don't ask you anything. So because for me, that's more than enough, because I know what I achieve in my career.
Mm.
The people who think like that, being a person, because I am proud who I am.
Yeah.
And as I mentioned, I just came from Sri Lanka.
That's what I was going to say. That's all the stuff you've done over here, but you've given these kids, you go back to us, a potentially life-changing experience, haven't you?
Definitely, because I went to Sri Lanka 2 weeks ago. The reason I went there, because I've spoken to my Sri Lankan international fast bowling coach called Anuki Samaranaike. He's the fast bowling head coach in Sri Lankan cricket team back in days, and now he recently appointed as well. Even with very busy schedule, I rang him one of the few weeks earlier. I said, look, I'm doing this. He's so proud. He spoke to my family, you know, and he never expect me calling him in a random day. So because I left Sri Lanka 14 years ago. So then when I rang him, he said, Hasi, look, whatever you want, I'm more than happy to help. So what you're doing, going through with what I've done over the last 15 years. So then he said, yeah, anything you need, bring it to me. I'll help you with whatever you want. So then I've spoken to the four different parents. Look, because those are the kids in my academy at this stage, into that level. So they need that extra push.
Yeah.
So I've spoken to those parents. I said, look, there's opportunity there. Do you want to join with me? Because I'm going to Sri Lanka anyway as a holiday. So I would like to give this opportunity to these kids. And the parents are like, yeah, why not? So then I did a program with Anusha Samaranaike for a good 4 days. The amount of experience those kids had. Number one, what I said to the parents, do you think you can have a coffee with anyone who played in England fast bowling coach?
Mm.
No, because we live in Dudley and you never get the opportunity. I said, I've got that link for your son to be able to get to that level and have some lessons of your coaching or maybe mentoring or anything you want to ask, question wise, training wise, mental wise, anything you want, there's a person there to help. So if you want to join. So they all went in Sri Lanka. We done a massive training session, three-hour session, Monday to Thursday. and managed to meet quite a lot of Sri Lankan international players, speaking to them. And it's a dream come, it's a dream for those kids. So that dream, so they know, because they managed to speak into those international players and international coaches, this is a motivation. So they so now they are so much encouraged. They want to do the same.
I think as well, when you're meeting people like that, if they you realise actually they're just people, because you put them up on a pedestal, as in you know you see them on TV, you see that, but actually they're people. And if they're a person, I'm a person, I can be there.
Yeah,
I can be up there with them.
If they can achieve it, so can I.
Right, that's it.
Sometimes when you're just seeing them on TV, it's like watching a movie.
Yeah, it's a million miles away, isn't it?
But as you go, so what is the true secret to success? You work hard. You dedicate, and then you look and you go, no, there's got to be more to it than that. No, there's literally, if you work harder than anyone else, you will achieve more than them.
That's what exactly those coaches and players said, because they, it's not an opportunity where you met someone for 5 minutes and you disappear, that person is disappeared.
Mm.
Because these kids had 3 hours every day for 5 days.
Yeah.
So if you do the maths, how many hours they spend with those international players and coaches, is a lifetime opportunity. So all they said is what they're asking. So how do you manage to get to this level? First thing, it's your hard work. Mm. Always hard work paid off. Even you are ill, even you are injured, there are so many things you can do related to your cricket. Mm. So don't make excuse. Anytime, if you want to be that level, because if you broke your ankle, it's only one ankle.
Yeah,
there are enough body parts in your body you can work.
Mm.
Put your leg up, do the things you need to do with your one leg, because you know with your boxing, if you injured your knee, still you can move your hands.
Do push-ups, do weights, do
So don't make excuses out of it, because it's the main message was work hard.
But you see those children and adults. I've hurt my toe, so you won't see me for 6 weeks. Yeah. Another kid, he's got a broken arm, and he's still there doing something.
Yeah.
Even if he's just in the gym or on the pitch, he's around the game.
Exactly. Because that's what you love, isn't it? So you can't make an excuse of what you love, because if you're making excuses of what you love doing it, so then that's it. So I always believe, if you want to, I'm really, really proud of all the parents around my coaching academy, because they know exactly what I'm doing.
And it's listening to the right people.
Exactly.
Listen to your coach or your head coach, or don't listen to the parents. Otherwise, go and join their cricket club, their boxing club. If they know so well, why aren't they doing that for a living?
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And so listen to the people who've dedicated their life to it.
Yeah.
And that once again, that's in every sport, isn't it?
Definitely, because it's always what you want to do in your life, and if you are committed, and if you really want to do any sport in your life, have that faith and get and go to the person who can actually help you to develop your skill or develop your sport, because I that's why the SHD coaching is all about, because if you really want to improve your cricket, if you really want to know how to play this game in your young age, I'm delivering that, because I really want to help this community around this Midland, because obviously I'm based in Midland area, so I really want to give that opportunity for these kids to come along and just learn this cricket and do your best. You never know where you're going to end up with. But the thing is, with my coaching, it has to be work hard.
Mm-hmm.
And I am not, because as a coach, I am not going to give any sort of leeway with like excuses, because the players who come along with me, they're mentally tough, physically tough, and they know exactly what they want to achieve their life in cricketing life or what they want in future. So they work towards it. So that's how it is. So whether you like it or not.
And I think someone like yourself, who has had his own resilience, you're playing at a very high level, then hurt your back, then you know how painful it is to have your dreams taken away from you.
Definitely, because like I said in the very beginning, if someone can mentor me on that time, don't give up.
Yeah.
I wouldn't give up.
Mm.
So that's why I'm telling my kids, never, ever give up, because I've done it in my life. So I know where I'm end up with. So in your life, you cannot give up anything, because if you're passionate about it, if you have that dedication, never give up. Even you feel you are tired, always think, what is your dream? So work for that dream. And even with the physical activities, if you throw up, you only throw up, you're not going to dead. You're not going to die, right? So you push for that next level.
I say that a lot in the gym, and I say, especially to the adults, I say, why are you giving up? I don't know what you've been through in your life, but I guarantee it's harder for what I can get you to do today. And you didn't give up then, so why are you going to give up now?
Yeah.
And our lives are filled with so many hard times and so much struggles and pain, but we didn't give up.
Exactly.
And how do I know we didn't give up? Because we're still here today. So for the sake of two more press-ups or three more sprints, why are you giving up on something as trivial as that? Push down, and every time you feel like you're going to give up, remind yourself of the times you didn't.
Yeah.
And that should give you strength and courage.
Yeah, definitely, because even as I mentioned earlier, I start my workouts again when I was in COVID. So people make fun of me because I'm putting all my workouts, what I'm doing day-to-day life to encourage people. They think, what are you showing off? I said, it's not showing off. I am motivating someone.
Yeah.
I am 36 years old now, 37 this year.
Mm.
So if I can do that,
yeah,
because that body transition, anyone else can do it.
Yeah.
So because as an active parent, your kids can see that.
Mm. Yeah.
So because your kids see my dad, my mom is active every day. So they want to do that, because that's what the kids are about, isn't it? Because if they see something, they want to do it. If as a parent, if you're lazy, if you sat down eating all this junk food, getting bigger and bigger, that's what the inspiration you pass a message to your kid. So because I give up in my career when I was 23, so now I'm back in track again. So I'm achieving something, I'm developing something. All I'm thinking in my life is, I do not give up again.
Yeah.
So I really want my family, and at the same time my friends, at the same time all the students taking coaching with me. All I believe is, never give up, because if you love something, just work towards it, and always believe yourself. So I always grateful what I've achieved in my life. At the same time, I really, really want to help these kids. Even if they are financially won't able to afford anything, so there are platforms I have where they can join in affordable prices.
Mm.
At the same time, even if not, because I'm the head coach for Hindi Cricket Club in adult cricket, so I'll be there. So then if someone wants to come and ask any questions, I'll be there. So I really want to help, and I really want to take it into the next level to help. And obviously doing the podcast, I'm hoping the message will go around the Midlands area and get people behind me, because I really, really want to help this community, and especially with these government school kids and people, parents think, oh, we weren't able to afford. No, there are places you can always come to join with me, and you can see the success of all the kids been achieving for the last year, because I'm only into this coaching for the just under 2 years. So the achievements all the kids achieved so far, so I'm so grateful. So I really, really want to give that to many people live in Midlands area, because I recently started the online consultation as well. So some kids from down south and up north, so they just joining with me. So even that kind of facility I can deliver from my academy. I really want to help those kids to have their better life with their sport.
So what is the best way for someone now? Is it on Facebook, is it on Instagram? What's the best place to find you?
Facebook, Instagram.
And that, is that scrolling on there?
Yeah, it's on the description.
On our YouTube,
the links on the page. Yeah, so the links on the description, it'll get across.
Will it be on there on our podcast platform?
Yeah, be on the podcast. It's on all of it.
So if you are interested in talking to Hasi and he knows his stuff, contact him. And the great thing about knowledge is sharing it, isn't it?
Yeah, definitely, because coaching someone is a different skill.
Yes.
So you don't need to be a good player to be a good coach. But sometimes the good player can't coach.
Yeah.
And maybe the coach won't be, maybe the coach not really achieve anything in their life. But still, as a coach, the what he learned up to that level is more than enough to train someone. So it's a finding that balance. So I always believe, if you want to learn something, use those professionals.
Yes.
To learn, I'm not saying it's come to me. Go to anybody, but please make sure your kid is going to someone who know the game and know how to do the basics.
If you need your hair cutting, you don't go to the gardener.
No, exactly.
You have a professional to do that job,
exactly,
don't you?
Exactly, because sometimes I'm really annoyed when parents have the no understanding about cricket. They're just watching something, a clips on YouTube.
Yeah.
Ask your son to do it, and they get frustrated. This is my life experience.
I know.
So sometimes I just close my eyes and say, oh, what are you doing?
Yeah.
You know, if you don't do it then.
Yeah.
So that is a frustration, but at the same time, when someone have that guts to come and ask opinion,
yeah,
and opinion because they think they know better than someone, so that affecting that individual kid, because that's not the way it is, because this has to be changed somewhere, and understanding how this thing has to be worked. So I'm really, really, really hoping people will do the best for their kids using their correct cricketing pathways. Not as a parent, you're just trying to do your son coaching. That's not it is, because if you look at the England cricket these days, it's such a big country.
Mm.
I'm pretty sure you have more resources out there if you talk properly.
Yeah.
So because I'm coming from Sri Lanka, tiny island, but we've been taught how to play cricket from our young age. Mm. So because we've been taught how to play cricket such a young age, the skill and the mental side, talent, skill, everything come along with young age. So by the time you come to Sri Lanka under 19 level, there are so many players are fighting to one place. But in England cricket, what I've seen so far, and you won't get that boost in your young age group. So I'm pretty sure there are so many, such a big country, there's so many players out there who wants to play cricket, but they don't know how to start.
Mm.
And also they might don't know, where do I start? Who do I go to? Where's the proper cricket coaching happening? It could be London, it could be Birmingham, it could be Nottingham, it could be somewhere else. But go to the place where you can get your proper coaching experience. So that is so important, because, and the clubs in this country, it needs to understand. I'm not saying every single club. There are some clubs using their professional experience players to help their junior setup. But certain clubs, it's just like a park cricket. So that is frustrating me, because the things are planning and the comments being made, everything on paper, it's easy.
Mm.
And you know, you can write it down, what to do, how to do it, when to do it, everything on a paper. But when it's come to the practical side, if you haven't got no understanding how to do it practically, there's no way you're going to do that. So maybe you are good in admin.
Yes.
You can write everything down as any sport. But when it's coming to the actual game, you're failed, because you haven't played. If you don't know how to hold the bat, how do you coach someone to hold the bat?
Yeah.
If you don't know how to bowl, how do you train someone how to bowl? If you haven't played a cricket, in a first team cricket in your life, how do you tell a kid, this is how the first team cricket look like? So it's such a painful sometimes when we're talking this topic, because people think they know better than someone.
Mm.
And they are afraid, or maybe they're shy, maybe they're proud not to ask from superiors to learn how to do it. Sometimes they think, if I speak to that person, I have to pay for it. No, that's not the thing. Come and speak to speak to somebody who has the experience and learn from it. Even with my coaching platform, I always ask parents to stay with me. Always, because whatever I do with the coaching one-to-one session or group session, parents are learning at the same time, because the opportunity I'm creating, because the parents are so encouraged to play their own level of cricket. So they are learning at the same time when I'm training my kids and having that knowledge what I'm telling to those kids. So that's so important as a parent, because they know exactly what I'm talking about. So sometimes what I'm talking about, even they can Google and check if it's correct or not. So far, so good. So I'm glad what I achieved with my young kids. So I can see there are so many kids have their, I think, with a bright future. So I'm hoping they will continue playing cricket, not just with me in their life. I'm hoping they will do their best. So, yeah.
That's been wonderful. And I always like to finish it on this. Have you got any quotes or sayings or just advice to anyone out there that's helped you get through life?
Get through life, never give up. That is the main thing. So if you are loving something and if you have a passion to it, and always work hard and always think you are the best and always believe yourself. If you really want to be the person who you want to be in your life, I always think don't listen to everyone.
Mm.
And believe yourself and have a mentor. It could be your dad, it could be your mom, it could be your coach, it could be your friend. But don't try to take 100 different ideas and trying to confuse yourself. If you believe something and if you trust someone who can give you a best shot, and always be with that person, because you have to have someone as a driver in a driving seat to guide you. So pick that person who's going to help, encourage, always motivate. When someone's doing well, you got so many people around you. But as soon as you fail, you need to look back, okay, who is actually helping me?
Mm-hmm.
So to find that person to win your life. That is the main thing, because that's what my success when I was young, because it's always you had that one person who's believing you. So there are so many people believing you, giving you feedback and everything. But when you're down, you have to find that person. So believe, encourage yourself, and find that person always. It could be anybody. It could be anybody. It could be someone, I don't know. It could be anyone who believe in you and always mentor you to do the best. So as long as you got those covered, and you can achieve what you're going to achieve in your life.
Oh, brilliant. Azzy, thank you once again, brother, for coming on.
Thank you very much.
Next week, we've got Sarah from the Black Country Women's Aid. They're going to be coming on talking about all their things, the Woman of the Year Award, and they've always got things in the pipe. So please join in next week, and we're having another great conversation. So, guys, thank you all for listening. I want you all to take care of yourselves and each other. Ta-ra a bit.
Listen. And that's a wrap for another show. But if there are any comments or messages that you'd like us to read out for our next podcast, please be in touch. There are also lots of different organisations at the bottom of this page, and hopefully they can help you or someone you care about. Please share this to spread the word. Until we talk next time, ta-ra a bit.
Listen.